Episode 206, August 10th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Joe, this is a first, a Rob and Joe Show first. We're doing the show without Rob Robinson.
Yeah, and he sent us an email and he was talking about like this Cal Ripken-like streak that he had going. I think that every time we've done the show, he's been a part of it. We've done shows without me. We've done shows without you. We've never done a show without Robbie.
Shows without the chat room, which is what we're doing now. We're recording it without the live aspect. Of course, Joe was sick Monday night, so we're doing this Tuesday night. So we have no live show chat room component and no Robbie.
Yeah, but Marcus, when we made our Skype call to record, he accidentally called Robbie, and Robbie, Jimmy, what do you guys need? Immediately jumped on. I think he feels a little left out. I know that he had other things going on, but I know he doesn't like this. He doesn't like being on this, on the recording.
Robbie said he couldn't do it tonight because he was too busy. But yet, when we called him by accident, he answered, and he seems like he's doing just fine.
Yeah, and what he said he was doing, he'd just do any time. You know, he's just any time. Both parties, I mean, the other party is always available. So whatever he wanted to do it, he could have done it.
Now, I almost had a little panic attack yesterday, Joe, because I don't know if you picked up on this, but you texted me and Robbie.
Oh, yes, I know exactly.
Okay. To say that you were throwing up every hour. You're feeling better, I assume. And that
I am. Thanks for asking.
Sure. And I had mistakenly thought you had just texted me. And so I was like, well, do you want to, you know, put off the show? We'll try to do it tomorrow. And you said that you'd prefer that. And I said, well, I'll ask Robbie, not realizing that this was a group text. So I call Robbie, and he knew about it, which I should have figured out because I didn't know why he knew. Right. So I still didn't figure out that he was on this group text. So we discussed and said, yeah, we'll talk to Marcus on Skype at 7, and we'll reassess and yada, yada, yada. But that Robbie didn't really want to do it tomorrow because he didn't know if he could. And I said, well, I don't want to cancel. TMOS is on they're on vacation this week. We've missed a few in the last couple of months. I really don't want to not do a show. And so I text, again, what I think is you, just you back, Joe. And I said that we're going to get on, Robbie and I, with Marcus at 7. We'll discuss. Need to see if Marcus can do it tomorrow. Robbie is hesitant as always.
Right. And by the way, you got lucky. It could have been much worse.
Oh, it could have been so much worse.
You got really lucky by just saying Robbie's hesitant as always because, of course. And Robbie's like, that's right, I'm hesitant. Like, that was almost a compliment. People yeah. Like, oh, Robbie's being blah, blah, blah. Yeah, then, you know, that you know him. You guys wouldn't have recovered from that for a while.
Well, because I didn't – look, he is always hesitant to do any change. So that's
hesitant was very kind. Usually yeah. We would get screamed at.
So, but I still thought, oh, my God, is this something? Did I screw up?
You know, that was the right to think that. Robbie is, because if I accidentally said something about you to somebody else, I wouldn't worry at all.
Right.
If you said something about me to somebody else, there's no worry. But if you say something about Robbie that wasn't intended for him, then he's not the guy to do that with.
No, but you're right. Once I realized, it's like, man, I started thinking of all the things I could have said or might have said before. And I was thinking that this could have been World War III.
Hey, tell me if this would make you upset. Okay. Our friend, comedian Wendy Townsend, was on 98 Rock today. She has a segment now. It's called like Wendy Wonders, where she writes down these different things that occur to her about the show over the course of the week. Okay.
Yeah, I heard some of that. Is that with Justin picking his nose and stuff?
Right. So if you heard it, you heard this. She's lobbying to do the news. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, when I was in there, I said, hey, this is a good idea. Why not let her do the news? Blah, 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 right? So I actually was in support of her. Now, her way to lobby that she should do the news was for her to say, well, you let Joe Robinson do it, and he was awful. That's what she said on the airwaves. That the way to somebody who was supporting her doing this, her reward was to say I was horrible at it. Should I be mad about that?
You should be mad about that. Now, I realize that you're sort of a punching bag. We all kind of make fun of you and each other, really. But, I mean, you're the one who's going to be able to take it the best. So I guess that people feel like then they can take more shots at you because of that, which is really unfair. You should only get shots thrown at you if you just – you shouldn't be more – they should be kinder to you. You should get rewarded for being able to take it. Does that matter? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yes. But I'm not mad, so.
No, that was fucking bullshit.
What do you mean?
No, I think, Rob, you guys are being really nice. And believe me, I'm a fan of Wendy's. And I'm just looking at it from the outside. I saw that clip earlier. I watched the clip on YouTube. And when I heard her make that comment, I had a feeling it would come up in today's conversation. But I was like,
That was bad, right?
Yeah, because I don't know, in the context of everything, if people saw it as, and trying to understand the backstory between the friendship and the relationship that everybody has, knowing that whether or not it was the, I think just hearing it, all you're going to hear is her saying that Joe Robinson is bad. Not that she's busting Joe's balls.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't sound like a ball busting. You're right about that. It didn't.
Well, do you think she thought you were bad? Because I remember, I thought you did a good job doing the news.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Mike was there, so that she actually had to produce the news. She actually provided most of the news stories. You follow what I'm saying? So, I'm not sure what that was, but whatever. I mean, I appreciate your the words of you guys. Maybe I should be more upset about it, but I'm not.
Well, but just because you're not upset doesn't mean there shouldn't be ramifications.
Well, what's ramifications? What should happen?
Well, let's say I'm rich and you hit my car, but I'm rich and I don't really care. Well, I should still be mad at you for hitting my car.
Oh, I'm not going to be mad. What do you want me to do? Go to her house, knock on the door, insist on an apology?
I think you should right here on our show demand a public apology.
I demand a public apology. No, I don't want a public apology. That would make me look worse. You think if she went on the air and said, I'd like to apologize for saying Joe Robinson was awful at doing the news because it offended him. No, I don't. That would not do me any good.
If
you're
right.
Hey,
that would
be, I thought about it, and he was actually really good. That would still be bad. You see what I'm saying? There's no, at this point, it's done. There's nothing that can be done.
You challenge her to a news off.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure Josh is going to be on board. He doesn't even want anybody else doing the news to begin with. Now all of a sudden, we're going to have a news off.
Add an extra segment. Josh will still do his news at the top of the hour, and then you guys will, throughout the day, or back-to-back in one break, each do like your three-minute take on the news, and the callers can call in and vote.
All right, yeah. I mean, I'll probably lose because, you know, people like to gang up on me there, but I'll do that anyway, but that doesn't sound like something that would interest them.
Okay, well, look,
something about two peripheral members of the show, I don't see that happening.
Well, you say that there aren't that many peripheral members of the show.
That's
so
true.
You two are on the top of the page in terms of non-hosts.
You're right. But you know what's funny is that when she said that, I was like, wow, that was kind of fucked up. But whatever, you know, no big deal. Now,
Well, the other thing is, if you said that about her, it would be, there'd be a problem.
Well, okay, but that's, I don't care that there's a double standard. People are different people. Like, I don't, it is what it is. But anyway, oh, I remember when I heard it, I'm like, well, that was kind of fucked up, but whatever. I mean, she's just taking a jab, whatever. It's not the end of the world. Plus, it was the 9 o'clock hour. Nobody's going to hear it. Well, then they made a YouTube clip out of it. Marcus heard it. Marcus in Vermont, he heard it. You see what I'm saying? I thought I would be a Teflon.
In the clear.
No, right. It's going to just permeate. So,
well, speaking of 98 Rock, please listen. Obviously, if you're local, you can listen just on your radio, or you can go to 98online.com. The Ravens game, the preseason game, the first one is this Thursday, 7:30. And after that, which would be about 11:30-ish, Joe, you'll be doing the postgame show. And I'll be contributing, as will Tommy Simbazo. That's this Thursday. It'll be late. So we need people to listen. We need callers, because this is, we're on in the middle of the night. This is not normally when we would do the postgame.
Yeah, we have two segments that require callers.
Yes.
That might be a mistake. You know what I mean? By the time we do those, we're playing a game called Subjective Trivia. But by the time we play that, you're right, it's going to be probably, you know, 11:30 at night. If the Ravens lose, it's going to be tough for us to have listeners.
I mean, look, what we're doing, why we're doing a preseason version is to let people know. You know, it's sort of a preseason version of the postgame. This is what they're going to
right.
expect.
Here's what you can
in the
expect.
Regular season. Now, during the regular season, we're not doing a late night postgame show. It'll only be 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games. So we're not doing it in the middle of the night. If it's a primetime game, there will be no postgame. But we want to be able to do the show that we would normally do at Sunday at 4:30 after a 1 o'clock game. And part of that is having these couple segments that require some callers. So we're asking you to make a point to listen, you know, midnight, you know, 11:30 to 1:30-ish, somewhere in there on this Thursday night going into Friday morning to help us out a little bit. That's not too much to ask, right?
No, we need, yeah, as a matter of fact, we make a point to listen, but also call in.
Yeah, call in.
We have, actually, there's only one segment where we require callers, and that is the subjective trivia. But you can win something. I don't know what that is, but yeah, that's going to happen.
Why don't you preload the calls with Scott Apple and a couple other choice names?
Scott Apple, thank you for that input, Marcus. That's good input. But Scott Apple would never stay awake that late.
Well, is that never. The issue? Not that he wouldn't know anything about football?
Well, no, he wouldn't stay up that late. But it's, if it's subjective trivia, it doesn't matter.
From listening to the Americast this week, a must listen, a fan of the More Broadcast Network, I think he feels like Scott Apple is borderline, like, mentally retarded.
No, Scott Apple's really smart.
What is he good at?
Well, he passed the bar exam. I doubt I could do that.
But he is socially... There is something a little off to not know the music that he knows, to call it First Plate. I mean, I've never heard of that in my life.
Scott Apple just went on his bachelor party.
Oh, my God. Wait.
His bachelor party. First of all, I'm going to let you guess where he went.
the museum in D.C.?
That's a pretty good guess. He went fishing and then home. They hung out at his house.
Wait, okay, you weren't there?
No, I didn't go. I wasn't going to go fishing.
Wait,
can't remember.
Were you invited?
I had my kids. I had something going on. I couldn't do it. But so he went fishing. Now, how about this? You have to guess how many fish they caught and how many beers Scott drank. They fished, you know, from the morning till, you know, the late afternoon, and then they spend the rest of the day at the house.
How many people are we talking about?
I think it was like five or six.
I bet they caught zero fish.
Zero fish is correct.
And
this
he
is Scott Apple. How many beers? This is an entire day, and it's his bachelor party. How many?
Yeah, two beers.
It's a four, okay?
That's him going crazy.
He went crazy.
Fishing, not having to drive, four beers, one beer an hour. That's him.
No, that's not one beer an hour. That's like one beer every 2.5 hours.
Oh, there, okay. So would you have gone if you were able to? Because I wouldn't miss
As a matter of fact. So let's peel back the curtain a little bit. He goes, yeah, we're going to go fishing. I go, oh, he goes, yeah, and it's going to cost. And he gave me the price. Mm. Now, I hate fishing. I have to drive to St. Mary's County, and I got to pay a couple $100. So luckily, I had my kids that night or that day, so I really couldn't, you know, do that.
I remember the first time we went to Cancun with 98 Rock for their what's called Spring Fling, where they would broadcast for a week from some exotic vacation spot. Listeners would come. And someone, one of the listeners, had convinced you and Mickey to go in on them on getting some fishing, deep sea fishing expedition. And you paid like $200 to do this. And then you realize afterwards that you had no interest in doing this, but it was non-refundable. So you just basically paid $200 to not fish.
I didn't go. I do remember that. That was a much different time. My pockets were a lot deeper back then. But yes, I had absolutely zero intention of going out there once I realized. But so I didn't want to miss a day of being at the resort.
Now, you understand,
at the resort, they fed you. You drank, sun, fun. By the way, I also lost all that weight. Remember that?
Shade.
I looked good. Oh, everything was perfect. Yeah. I'm not leaving.
No, why would you leave? Well, you should never have paid in the first place. So you missed Scott Apple's bachelor party, and you're also going to miss his wedding because of the Ravens postgame, correct?
That's correct.
Man, that is too bad. So once again, Scott doesn't invite Robbie and I to the wedding and now doesn't even consider an invite to the bachelor party.
What's worse, what Wendy did to me or what I'm doing to Scott Apple?
What Wendy did to you. You have a reason. Wendy's the worst. That's what we're learning here. Let's take a break. We'll come back. The fail of one of the greatest business plans of all time, the Columbia house record, whatever, 19 CDs for one penny. Rob and Joshua, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, September 4th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I remember as a kid, child of the 80s, Joe, totally, more than once, buying the cassette tapes at that time. Forget how many, 9 or 12 for one penny. Was it one penny or was it?
It was. I remember you actually had to tape. There was a circle where you could tape the penny.
And I remember thinking that was stupid. It's like, really? Do you not? What if I don't give you the penny? Do I not?
They wanted you to have some skin in the game. I'll bet you if you just stuck a piece of tape over it and acted like you sent the penny, but it fell out or something, then you, they would just give it to you anyway.
Well, because they wanted you, because then you had to buy like 10 cassettes.
I didn't think you had to buy that many. Not when I did it. When I did it, it was albums. And I remember the reason that I had Steve Miller Band's Greatest Hits is because, remember, they used to send you an album every month. And then you could send it back.
Right.
Or you kept it and you had to pay for it. And that was one album they sent me. And I'm like, I guess I own this. But eventually I honored my commitment. But I did it as a kid. And dude, it was a lot of money. I remember that.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with, and you think about it, it's like $14 or whatever for an album. But you were like, oh man, this is a lot.
I think it was a good lesson to learn about finances, though. I mean, suddenly you had a bill due.
Well, it's funny you say that because I remember probably with 100% 100% of the time, whenever I did one of those things where I pledged, like I walk March of Dimes or whatever, I never collected the money, ever. So what I would do is I'd go around and I get pledges, and then I do a March of Dimes or I do a swimathon or I do whatever. And then it was over. I'm just like, forget it. And I never did. I used to get hate mail from the March of Dimes all the time. It's like, are you proud? Please send in the money, blah, blah, blah. And I would just, no, uh-uh. And I wouldn't go collect.
See, that's worse. What you did to them was worse than what Wendy did to you.
Oh, of course it is. Yes.
What's shocking, and we told Marcus this beforehand, that they just filed for bankruptcy. Like, they were still around.
You had all those pennies.
I mean, how could they still be in business? You know, Mickey Coachella, we love him. We make fun of him. And he's a great comic, but he has some moments in his act that are a little shaky. And I've heard him tell this joke probably as recently as 5 years ago. Yeah, I just got a record deal. Oh, people clap. Columbia House. I mean, I've heard him tell that joke.
Do people even know what that is?
I get his crowd. Yeah. Because they all,
you don't
all
know where I ate this weekend. You don't know what restaurant I went to.
All I know is you were throwing up on Monday, so I'm not going to go to that restaurant.
I went on Saturday, but I did go to Mickey's Bar and Grill.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you ate at Mickey's Bar and Grill on Saturday, and then you couldn't do the show Monday night because you were throwing up. That's not, yeah. You shouldn't be saying that, Joe.
No, I'm positive it wasn't Mickey's. This was that was a full 48 hours later. But let me tell you something. First of all, I'm not kidding. It's good. It's real good. It's really, really good. I probably would lie and say it's good no matter what, but right. It really is. So see for yourself. I'm interested in what other people think, but the food was great. The only thing that's funny is everything is named Mickey. It's Mickey's appetizers, Mickey's burgers, Mickey's sandwiches. I'm like, dude, you got to – hey, the hamburger's called the Big Mick. And here's what's funny. He named everything after himself, this egomaniac. And then I'm talking to Lou, who's the other guy, his investment partner or whatever. And he comes over and he's like, yeah, we made this drink. It's with Yoo-Hoo and banana rum and all this stuff. It sounded delicious, right?
Yeah.
And I go, really? He goes, yeah, Mickey wants to call it the Mickey. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is there anything on this menu that isn't named after him?
Is he going to get sued by McDonald's of all this Mick stuff?
It's not MC.
I don't know. You think
and
they
the
care?
Big Mick is...
You can't sell a McGriddle by spelling it M-I-C-K. You realize that.
You know, it's funny. There was a sushi restaurant that was sued because they called themselves Mick Sushi. You can Google this, then they won. They couldn't copyright a prefix of a name. So, yeah, they can clearly. Now, what is funny is he has a hamburger called the Big Mick. You don't know what's on the Big Mick. What's on it?
I hope it's not hollandaise sauce.
It's two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. That's what's on the Big Mick.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Oh, my God. Does he have a egg McMuffin?
That's all that I saw that was that blatantly ripped off. But, no, the food is really good. We sat on the deck. There was a guy, just one guitar playing, you know what they play, Tom Petty and Jimmy Buffett and Bob Marley or whatever. And it was good. I had a good time, and the food was great.
I look forward to getting out there. You and Tim got to hang out, show announcer Tim, this weekend.
So, yeah. So the first thing is this. We went to go see the Psychedelic Furs. Marcus, you a Psychedelic Furs fan?
Yeah, I like their stuff a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see them. Did I send you the video, Rob? Of course, I didn't take any videos. We'll get to that. But Tim took a video, and we were in the front and center. I mean, we could touch this guy. Now, considering I don't know his name, I don't know what a big deal that is.
Right.
And considering there's about 4,000 people there, so, you know, how great could this guy actually be? But no,
that's,
I mean,
still pretty cool.
Oh, no, he was super cool. And I really, really, really enjoyed, you know, being that close to somebody who, they were iconic back in the 80s, right? So that was real cool. But the first thing is, the reason that we got there and we were able to stand in the very front was because the concert started at 8:00. And I left my house. What time did I have to leave my house to meet Tim in Silver Spring? I'm in Glen Burnie. I have to meet Tim in Silver Spring. What time do I have to leave to make an 8:00 concert, but I have to meet Tim in Silver Spring? What time do I have to leave my house?
I would say 6:00.
Well, I left at 4:15 in order to meet him at the time that he wanted to meet.
It's 45 minutes away for those who don't really live here.
Katie brought up a good point. She goes, you realize that if the concert was in New York, you'd still make it. So I go there. And we get there, and I get that. He wants to eat, and he wants the pregame or whatever, but Tim likes to, when we saw Morrissey, now we saw the Psychedelic Furs, Tim likes to be in the very, very, very front. He likes to do that.
Which okay, he's really tall, so he doesn't need to be in the front.
He's 6'5". He doesn't need to be there, but he is. So the cool thing is he got front-of-the-line tickets. So you pay for the tickets, and then you pay an extra money, you get to the front of the line. So Tim walks up to the VIP section and goes, hey, I have these tickets. He goes, well, all the VIPs didn't show up. You want to just come in VIP. So guess what? Tim and I, VIP, we run in. We're right up in the front. Now, I see a lot of people do this, but Tim is a 46-year-old man. So he's not a child. Tim videos the entire concert. How do you even enjoy what you're seeing? He's more interested in documenting it than he is experiencing it. And you can see that this is true because if you go onto Tim's Facebook page, he has three videos that are 2 minutes long from the concert. He literally sat there. Now, how long is Pretty in Pink? 3 minutes long? Just go ahead and do the whole song. Why are you cutting it off?
I think Louis C.K. has a joke where he's talked about people recording their child's piano recital or whatever. It's like, you have it. Like, you just watch, you know. That's HD. You're in 3D just by looking at it with your eye. I get that in that you want to document it. And I've been a lot of these trips, the military, and I try to take a lot of pictures. But I've noticed, like, I'm in Portugal a few years ago. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to in my life. And I've taken all these pictures, and I'm like, I want to experience it, though, and just, like, feel it and live it and not looking at my phone, how that picture turn out. I feel like you sort of lose the moment of experiencing it because you want to relive it later, but you're not living it now.
Well, one of the best things about seeing Prince this year is that you weren't allowed to video or take pictures. Now, I still did. Just a couple. I just want to document a little bit of what I'm seeing, right? So right. I think I recorded maybe, no lie, 5 to 10 seconds of Purple Rain, 5 to 10 seconds of Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah.
5 to 10 seconds of Let's Go Crazy. That's it. And then I sat there and I enjoyed the concert. But again, Tim, he doesn't get to enjoy it because he can enjoy it now watching it on. It's funny. There was a guy, and I have another story from that night because I saw a dear friend, somebody I hadn't seen in a long time, and she was with another.
Well, real quick, don't they have some contraption? You could just put the phone on your hat or your head or something and just hit record, and so you can watch it and record.
Yeah, I guess you could get, like, you know how they want the police to wear those body cameras or whatever? I guess you could just get one of those.
That's what you should do.
And just hit play and then hit record and then just enjoy the concert. Yeah. But anyway, this guy who also was like Tim wanted to be right up front. He was actually a really fun guy, but he's like, dude, I know all about this band. I've been watching all their YouTube videos. I'm like, oh, really? You've been watching their YouTube videos?
Big fan.
All right. Well, I had already known a lot of these songs prior to coming here, but that's okay. But listen to this. You're going to like this. Mm-hmm. So I see a friend, and I had not seen her in a long time. And she was a good friend. I worked with her for a long time. I've been out with her. I mean, so forth. But I hadn't talked to her in a while. Mm-hmm. And her husband is there. Now, her husband, I've always liked this guy. He's a cool guy. He's a good-looking guy. He's smart. He's really successful in the industry that we were in before. I really like this guy. So Tim sees this guy and says, hey, you look like a celebrity. Who do you look like? Now, this guy, he looks like basically, you know, like Tom Brady. He doesn't look like Tom Brady, but that's, you know, he's just a tall, good-looking guy, right?
Tall, good-looking guy.
Wesley Snipes, Jamie Foxx.
Right.
Denzel Washington, Idris Elba. Like, I'm naming black. Obviously, he doesn't look like these guys. I'm trying to be hilarious, right?
Right.
Then I go, Gary Coleman, right? Now, this guy's laughing. I don't think anything of it. My friend pulls me aside, okay? And she goes, hey, ease up on him. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah. She goes, remember when we came over to visit you at your house? Now, I did the math. They came to visit. I was married at the time. They came to visit in 1999 at my house in Crofton, okay? 16 years ago. She goes, remember when we visited? Yeah, when we left, he said he thought you were kind of a dick. So this guy, This guy has been harboring this for me, and I didn't know. I like the guy. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
But I was, he came to my house, and he thought that I was a dick, and now here I am. Now, by the way, I got to
know. Did you
get
into a fight, an argument? Do you remember?
No,
being
this
here?
Guy, I don't even know. Who knows? No, we didn't. When he came to our house, the only thing I remember is there was like a theological discussion. And you remember my wife, she's very religious. Yeah. And he had some questions about, you know, who would pen the Bible and things like that. And I know maybe there was some tension. Maybe
sounds
people,
like a lot of fun, that conversation.
Right. Maybe people got defensive about their belief set or whatever. But it never occurred to me. You know me. I'm just trying to be funny. I don't ever remember trying to justify or anything like that. I don't know. It's possible that she was just dating this guy, and sometimes guys get threatened by other alphas that their wife or their girlfriend likes. You know what I mean? Who knows? I don't know what it was. I never knew, though. I never knew. I always liked the guy. I always did, right? I
still why would she think that you saying he looks like Idris Elba would be an insult?
Well, that's the thing. So I don't know if it's him or her. I don't know. But I do know, I don't usually get defensive. I've said this a million times. If tomorrow you said to me, you go, hey, Joe, do you mind not wearing the color red? I don't like it. Well, you're an idiot, but I don't care. I just won't wear red. I'm not really trying to, you know what I mean? I'm not just trying to, well, I want to wear red. Screw that guy. I'm not like that.
Right.
If it bothers you that something that I do, and it's not asking a lot of me not to do it, I just won't do it. I won't. I'm not trying to stand up for justice. I'm not. But it did bother me, like, I want you to get jokes. That's the main thing. You know, friend of the show, Chris Restivo, that's my biggest problem with him on Facebook. Every time you say something, he takes it seriously. He doesn't understand jokes, and I can't stand that about him. So now here's this guy. They said, who does he look like? And I mentioned, you know, what if I said Caitlyn Jenner? Does that mean I think he looks like a woman? No, I'm clearly mentioning somebody that he doesn't look anything like.
Of course.
By the way, you know, Wesley Snipes, Idris Elba, Jamie Foxx, they're good looking.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? It's not like I said you look like an ugly guy. I said you look like a black guy because you're white. I'm just trying to be hilarious. It's got nothing to do with, I'm just trying to insult you. Let me ask you a question, Rob. If I said that to you and you didn't know me, would you even think for 2 seconds you were being insulted?
Of course not. Because that's the joke, is that I'm super white and those guys are black.
Yeah, and I don't know that. I think maybe she was also had been drinking. Maybe she read into it the wrong way. Now, I know I believe that this guy thought that I was a dick back in 1999. There's nothing I can do about that. There's no way for me to go back and rectify that. I can't do it. But I think this guy gets it. I don't think that could have possibly bothered him, but maybe it did. And if it did, the truth is I'm just not your person. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're going to be offended by that, we're just never going to be friends. You're not going to get me ever.
Well, I'll have that happen where someone won't get a joke and they'll be offended because they didn't get it. And then we'll have like a discussion about it. And then once they realize that they were wrong, that they misread it, they'll just say, well, it wasn't funny. So that offends you then if somebody's not funny? Like the Paul Blart 2 trailer comes on and your day is ruined, you're offended? I mean, what's wrong with you? That's worse, actually. Every time somebody's not funny, oh, I'm so pissed off. No, just admit it. Like, you know, this is more serious, but I know we talked about this before, but the Onion, when they got in trouble for that tweet at the Oscars a few years ago, when they said that they, I know what everyone's thinking, and they referenced that 9-year-old, the black girl that got nominated for something, you know, what a cunt so-and-so is.
Right, because people don't get jokes. Obviously, right. The joke is she's not that. She's a little kid, right.
She's the least person in the whole room you would call that. That's why you can call her that, because that's the joke, that we're all thinking that. It's like if someone doesn't talk at all at dinner and they get up to leave and I say, wow, I'm glad Marcus left. He wouldn't shut up. It's funny because Marcus hasn't said a word, because we know that. But if Marcus was talking, I said, then it's a dick move. But so if you don't get it, then your criticism falls.
Yeah, but if Marcus says one word, I want him to shut up. So that was a bad analogy.
That's true. No, Marcus has a great voice. I want him to talk.
He does. So one more thing is, I forgot about this. I went to a party with, I just did this recently. I went to a party with a friend of mine from high school, with landlord Dave, and we went to a friend of ours' birthday party. And there were two girls that I hadn't seen in forever. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And one is I think one is a year younger than me, and one is 3 years younger than me. So they were, when I was a senior, one was a junior, and the other one was a freshman. Mm-hmm. And the older sister is really complimenting her younger sister, but she's like, yeah, I always hated it because I was in high school. You know, everybody liked her, and she used to steal all my boyfriends, and this, and she became so much more beautiful than me. Now, she's just being a you know, delightful, right? She's just complimenting her sister. She's not, you know, she's, and I'm like, well, you need to let this go. I mean, this is 30 years ago. I mean, it's time to, okay, make today the day. Like, obviously, I'm just kidding, right? Because right. she's... Hey, it was not received well. It wasn't. It's like, well, I don't know. I was just trying to tell a story from when I was younger. Meanwhile, she thinks, who am I, Dr. Ruth,
You wanted to confront her sister.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just somebody who's probably just not going to get me.
Is Dave getting you? You're a new landlord?
No, yeah, no. Dave and I are in sync all the time.
I went over there. We're writing the next murder mystery show. It's called... It's called The Newly Dead Game. It's based on a newlywed style game show where a murder happens and yada, yada, yada. But we're writing that, and I go over to Dave's, and Dave has invented a wiffle ball field, if you will, in his yard. He's got a chair as the plate. If it hits the chair, it's a strike. If it gets to this tree, it's a single. The next tree, it's a double. I like it. It's fun. But he has this rule that makes no sense in baseball.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And I can tell that it's going to bother you.
Well,
the rule is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, if you obviously, unless you're Scott Apple, you'll get this. But if you get a single and then the next hit, you get a single, then you got a guy at first and second. And then, so obviously if you get a double at that point, the guy from second would then score. Well, this is the rule he has. If you got in third and then you get a double, the guy's still on third because they don't touch.
Yes, they have to touch in order for that. Right. Yeah. You have to be forced is the way he said that.
Which makes no sense in baseball. You're sitting in third, a guy hits a double, you just stand there like an idiot.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If there's a runner on second, you get a double, the double scores. But you're still not forced. You're not forced to run home.
Right, right.
You know, but it's so funny because, of course, it's so hilarious to me. So I start making fun of the rules. And Dave's like, these have been the rules long before you got here. We're not changing.
I can tell. He's serious about
this. This is my wiffle ball game. And you're not going to come in and start bullying me into changing these rules that I've had for 10 years. These are the rules. So now at least I get them, right? But what I do hate is that, you know, if you hit a triple and then you hit a double and then you hit a single with two outs, you haven't scored a run. Which I hate, right?
Yeah, that's why I can't have a real game. Because if I lose because of that, I'm going to be upset. I will, because I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I did lose because of that, because, you know, I lost 20-19 in our first seven-inning wiffle ball game to Dave. He scored 7 runs in the bottom of the 7th.
I mean, I love the whole idea of just inventing this and coming up with these rules, but they need to make sense. But whatever.
Maybe we can debate it.
Well, Joe, if you and Rob ever make it up this way, bring Dave. I will take him to Little Comiskey, Little Wrigley and Little Fenway. Up here in Vermont, there are 3 miniature ballparks, and they were designed for wiffle ball games because every year they have 3 major wiffle ball tournaments.
I've seen that on ESPN, and the score is always like 1-0 because these pitchers are just nasty, because you can make a wiffle ball do anything.
Yeah,
and so if he wants to learn how the real rules are for wiffle ball, he should come and check out one of these games in these amazing miniature ballparks. And you have to drive down this 3-mile dirt road to finally get to these 3 ballparks that are in the middle of nowhere. But it's amazing baseball. It's amazing. It's an amazing weekend of wiffle ball tournaments.
I love that.
If you make it down to dinner on Friday, we'll come up for wiffle ball the next day.
No, that sounds awesome to me. Do they have like leagues, or they just have tournaments every once in a while?
They do have some leagues that they run, but the big thing that they get pressed for is they run 3 major tournaments during the year in order to raise money for 3 different charities.
So yeah, that's a part of the country I've never been to.
Are the charities March of Dimes? Because I won't send in my money.
No, one of them is for people who have brain damage from accidents. I can't remember the exact foundation. And then two other lame foundations. I have no idea.
What's your best, this is both of you, your best sport that's not a real sport? Like wiffle ball, kickball, pool, miniature golf.
Well, I think wiffle ball is a lot more of a real sport than, you know, pool, darts, shuffleboard, all that stuff. Like bar games.
Okay.
Like wiffle ball is a real, you know, you still have hand-eye coordination.
You're right. But it's...
I used to play softball regularly. When I lived in California, we had softball year-round. I used to play on a team all year-round. But I would say my best bar game is probably darts.
I would say darts is my best bar game. I like shuffleboard to be my favorite, but darts would be my best. And I've never really was that good at baseball. The wiffle ball the other night, I wasn't very good. But I enjoy it. I like it a lot. I'm just not.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna play some wiffle ball.
Can we talk about the?
No, we can't.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Drama. Yeah,
you need to beep whatever what he just said. That is a surprise. What you were just getting ready to.
A surprise?
Yes.
Who does that? Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, you gotta edit all that.
Beep that, and then we'll just beep what it is, Marcus. What he said that it was, and then you can just leave all this in, and then we can talk about it after.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Ben Affleck getting on with the nanny. Robin Josh will be right back.
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer. Right now, use the promo code ROBINJOE for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in ROBINJOE. That's Stamps.com. Promo code Rob and Joe.
The Rob and Joe Show.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
I don't get this, Joe. You're Jennifer Garner. You're married to Ben Affleck. You hire a nanny. I assume you sit down with her as a family, you interview her. And they hire this woman who's, I don't know, 25, a perfect 10. And of course, what you think's going to happen does. He's now with the nanny. They're divorced. It's over. They're breaking up. He's with the nanny.
He's not with her.
I think they're together.
Are you serious?
I sent you that link of them going to a Tom Brady going to Vegas. She's wearing the Tom Brady Super Bowl rings.
I mean, okay. So, God, what a cliche. You're Ben Affleck. You can date anybody you want. Control yourself, okay? I remember when my brother was on his second of his many marriages, right?
All right.
He came to me and goes, hey, would you ever date a girl that had three kids? And I was like, no, of course I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that, right?
All right.
Now, he wasn't really asking me, he was telling me, right? Because he'd been dating this girl that had three kids. And what I wouldn't do was, by the way, I'm sure there are wonderful women out there with three kids, but I wouldn't let myself fall in love with somebody who had three kids. You follow what I'm saying? As soon as I found out he had three kids, and then I'd say, oh, well, this is only as far as it can go because right. I'm not really interested in raising somebody else's three children. That's all. By the way, that makes me a dick, whatever. But I'm not interested in that. So I would not allow myself to be in that situation. That's what I would do if I'm Ben Affleck. Because right now, you know, what do you call it? His score, whatever it is. I got to imagine people don't really, you know, that's going to affect his career, right? I mean, obviously women aren't going to like him as much. Women, they have disdain for that, although Brad Pitt got away with it.
Well, apparently they're still trying to work it out, apparently, Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. But it says here, ex-nanny's Las Vegas trip with Ben Affleck and Tom Brady raised red flags for friends, sources say. And then Garner fired her after the six-night stay in Vegas with Ben and the nanny.
Was she like, well, actually, you can go ahead and fire me because I don't need this job anymore?
Well, if you're the nanny, I mean, that's what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to either hook up with Ben or find a man in his rich circles. I mean, that's the obvious.
I mean, if you're super hot, but I mean, if you're Jennifer Garner, why is she the nanny? why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing this to happen?
What percentage, and I'm going to do this for men and women. Let's say for men, it's the hot nanny. Let's say for women, it's the sexy pool boy. We're talking about couples in their 40s. They have a 25-year-old perfect 10 in their house for whatever reason on a daily basis. And the opportunity and the nanny and the pool boy are, they want this to happen. What percentage of time is it going to lead to cheating?
Women are a more faithful sex, a gender, agreed?
No. Probably, that probably bears out.
Yeah, and I think, what are the chances the woman wants, is into it. The nanny is into it, and the guy's just a guy.
Yeah.
What percentage of the time does it happen?
Would it happen?
I've read studies that say 50% of all men cheat. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've also heard Chris Rock say, you know, you're only as faithful as your opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden this nanny, and she's a 10 and she's throwing herself at you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the 80s, right?
Well, the problem with the nanny cheating is if you do have the guilt, you're going to see her all the time. So That would be the one thing that would stop you. The thing that would make you do it more likely would be the opportunity and the ease of it. She's right there. But the idea of having to see her every day and then living with fear that she might speak up probably makes it less likely than some girl on the road.
Well, how many decisions have you made in your life where you were worried about the consequences afterwards? I mean, okay. I mean, I'd like to think that that's the way that I live my life, and I try to, but I'm a very spur-of-the-moment person. I have to imagine that if there was a nanny throwing themselves at me, that I don't know that I would be strong enough.
I don't think it's nearly as high as you say. I think a man might realize that, look, I can't stop this unless I fire her. I can see that. You think it's 80%? I don't think it's near that high. I think it's like 30%.
No, well, then hold on. I just told you there was a study that said 50% of all men cheat. Now, all of a sudden, they're not going to cheat with the 10 that lives in their house?
Well, not because they're against cheating, because they don't think they'll get away with it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Got it.
Marcus, where do you stand?
Well, I'm just wondering why this conversation seems so awkward at the moment, because, Rob, you have no kids at the moment. You should be the one declaring that if a 10 walks through the door to watch your kids, you might not be able to avoid it, because right now you don't have kids. So there's no consequences with Tawanda. Whereas Katie is going to listen to this show.
That's a relationship ending.
Well, maybe, but you know, yes, Katie's going to listen to this show. And if, you know, Joe goes and gets a babysitter now and she's anywhere near a 10, Katie's going to be nervous.
Well, let's be serious.
He has a nanny. He's got.
I know this is going to come as a shock, Marcus, but tens aren't really crawling out of the woodwork to bang me. I got very, very lucky with my current girlfriend, but I can't just pull tens nonstop. Just as long as that's clear.
So, Joe, you think 80% of men are going to cheat? What about women with the pool boy?
There's
some 43-year-old woman. Your man has let himself go. You've been married 20 years. The kids are out of the house. You got this pool boy. Some Latin sexy dude with the muscles speaking. He's got an accent. It's coming.
Well, I think that's probably, I don't know, in the 30s or 40s.
I say 100%. That's what I say.
I mean, the guys have to be higher than the girls, because men are a physical gender and women are an emotional gender. That's why guys like me get to date girls like my current girlfriend. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, because they're emotional. She's here for this. What do you think? You don't think she can get a better looking guy than me?
I know that she can.
I assure you that she can.
Yeah, but the other statistical factor here is that I think women have more opportunities than guys do.
100%. Yeah.
He's right. But we weren't in this scenario. It's the same opportunity.
Well, in the same opportunity, I think they're equal.
I've tried to tell this as a joke, and it's never quite worked. And the premise is that, I mean, obviously cheating is bad. You should get penalized for cheating, but you never get credit for not cheating. And I have a very pro cheating opportunity job. as opposed to someone who just works at the post office or something. I mean, I'm on the road, I'm in bars, women are drinking. They sort of know me already because I'm on stage. So
yes, you have some sort of celebrity status, which yes, has appeal, yes.
Sometimes I'm the other side of the world, so there's literally no chance of Tawanda popping in. She's probably not even going to call because we're a different time. It's 12-hour difference sometimes. You know, she's asleep.
Is there a what happens here stays here policy in Dubai?
There is, and I'm a bad lover, so whoever I cheat with is not going to want to see me again. So she's going to deny it, right? So I'll get away with it, and I don't do it, and I feel like that should be rewarded. Like with car insurance, you know, you don't have an accident for a while. They lower your rates.
Safe driver discount.
Exactly. So
well, what do you want to happen? What is this reward?
I want, like, you know, instead of having to go to her parents one day, I can watch football and I can say, well, I didn't cheat. And she can say, you're right.
But Rob, you got to prove it. The thing about it is that right, you only get in trouble when you get caught.
Yeah,
so how are you
right,
going to prove?
No, you could say it. Even if you went out and did something, you'd come back and say you didn't. So there's no credit to be given.
Yeah, you're right. That's the fatal flaw. Yeah.
It's just like when I talked about Mickey's restaurant, which was really good. Mm-hmm. But even if it wasn't good, I would have said it was really good.
Which I
just
think
wouldn't have brought it up.
Which I think means that comedians need body cameras.
No, we don't need those. Come on, Marcus.
Well, it's the way he proves that he was. That's the way he proves he was faithful.
That's true, and I would also prove that almost every other comic that I'm with is not faithful.
Hey, if you wore a body camera that documented your entire trip, would Tawanda watch it?
Yeah.
She would.
Because I'm, no, watch it. Oh, in terms of spying on me?
Would she be curious like, about hey, my life? Here's the, like, it said, every trip I'm going to video, you're going to see everything that I see through my eyes. And they go, okay, here you go. She's going to just sift through hours and hours of footage.
No, she would do it out of curiosity. I would tell her which parts to watch. Like, if I'm in some beautiful, exotic location, she's going to want to see that.
There'd be a gap in there like the Nixon tapes. What happened then?
She'll check in like it's Jenny Cam.
What's Jenny Cam? What's that?
Wow, you don't remember Jenny Cam?
No.
Very early on, probably early 2000s, late 90s, one of the first streaming, live streaming videos was this woman, Jenny, and she had cameras throughout her house. They were on 24 hours a day. You paid a $25 subscription per month, and you could watch her do whatever she was doing at any time of day.
Did she bang guys out and stuff?
Oh, yeah. She did everything.
But what if she was making her dinner, you just watching it?
Yeah.
How hot was she on a 1 to 10?
9.
Huh.
Yeah, she was a solid 9.
I probably would have watched 10 minutes of that.
She made a ton of money. She got a television deal at one point, and then she turned it into a franchise and started opening up a bunch of cams. But then, of course, the porn guys jumped all over it, and of course, a bunch of other cams started opening up. So,
yeah, that's a huge industry, the webcam thing. I've never done the webcam thing. It's never really interested me, but I mean, there's probably 10,000 people that do that.
Well, I'm thinking about this. Like, I still see ads on TV where you can call people for a certain amount of money a minute. You can call people.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm guessing the only person reason you call somebody is to jerk off, right? Would there ever be any other reason? Or is you think there's people that are so lonely they just want somebody? It's always to jerk off, right?
Of course.
Okay. Well, who would rather jerk off to a woman's voice, which I barely want to hear at any point in time, or people actually having sex, which you can see.
Right.
By the way, that was a joke, just in case if we get any hate mail.
We might, yeah. You'd rather jerk off to a man's voice, a man talking about fantasy football? Is that what you want?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It is funny because I downloaded a game on my phone. And you can change the characters, and I changed them to all women because I didn't want to appear gay.
You got some issues.
Like, why did you make that character a dude? I'm like, don't worry about what I'm doing. It's funny because I also when you program your voice back when I used to have a GPS to talk to me,
right?
You could have a man or a woman. I always got a woman.
Yeah, I had a woman too. I think I had a British accent at one point. Yeah.
No, I had the regular accent, the Americans.
I met up with Dr. Gill this past week. Remember I said last week's show? This guy's gonna
pay
me.
How'd that go?
It went well. What do you think he paid me? I was there for 2 hours.
Well, did he hear the show when we said you understand? Because you said $100. I go, you should ask for more than that. Did he hear that?
I don't believe that he did.
No.
That indicates how much was paid.
Let me ask this. What would you have taken?
Well, before I went out there, he had outlined what he thought was reasonable, which I agreed to. And then he paid me a little extra.
Okay. How far did you drive?
Well, he paid me $50 round trip just for that. I drove 50 minutes each way.
Okay, $150.
That's what we agreed to. Well, he said $50 an hour and $50 round trip. I was there 2 hours. He gave me $200.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so he gave me extra $50. Now, I also agreed to go to an open mic with him, and I got him a gig at the Draft House doing Ramin's show August 27th. But we worked on some good jokes. Do you want to hear some?
Two jokes. That's all I'm willing to hear.
A few jokes. No, you want to hear two? Okay. All right. I don't know if that one's any good. I had a stripper pay me in dollar bills. He does plastic surgery. So she brought me a big bag of single dollar bills. What am I going to do with this dirty money? So I started a college fund for my one-year-old. Strippers always lie and say they're stripping for money for college. Now she really is. That's the
same.
Okay.
That's pretty funny.
It's like the Camelot 529 college plan. That's the
all right. I don't know if anybody's going to laugh. It's clever.
Okay. How about
I got to hear how he's going to tell it. That's the problem.
All right. How about this? When you tell your doctor stuff, you're confiding in us and we keep a good game face. But some of the stuff you tell us is really gross. And sometimes we'll tell people, not people you know. You know, like the hot receptionist chick that was smiling at you and you thought you had a chance with. Well, she knows about your anal fissures. And you know about your rash, your ball sack rash. My wife knows all about your balls. She could pick them out of a lineup.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay.
They'll laugh at that.
Yeah. All right. Give me one more. Do you ever notice how when you go to the doctor, they ask you a bunch of questions, never give you a diagnosis right away. Then they say they'll be with you in a few minutes, then come back with all the answers of your diagnosis. How did that happen? What are they doing back there? Well, I'll tell you. Run WebMD.
That's pretty good. All right. I like that.
It was a long time ago. It's hard to remember all this shit.
Means everybody's got cancer then.
Yeah.
All right. So no, I laughed. Yeah, I laughed at all those.
Interesting
not the first
thing
one too much, but yeah. All right.
Interesting thing about Dr. Gill. I hope I'm not saying too much here, but I go there. He's got a nice house, obviously. I pull up my computer. I try to log on. I go, "What's your Wi-Fi?" He goes, "We don't have Wi-Fi." I go, "Okay." He goes, "Yeah, we have a newborn baby, and we're just trying to do stuff. There's always autism going around. Kids just seems like there's more cases of that." So everything, we're trying to do things that raise a kid like they used to without all the things that they have now, like Wi-Fi. I'm like, you're a doctor and you don't have Wi-Fi?
They're not watching TV. They're reading books.
Right,
they don't have electricity in their house. They're churning butter.
Right. So I said, yeah, that's kind of funny. Can we make a joke out of that? And I could tell he didn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I don't like him. He's willing to talk about anal fissures, but he can't joke around about that. That means that...
I think his wife would get upset.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to have a great career in comedy because he's going to be... I'm telling you, he's going to have to temper what he does. And once you have to... That's one thing about you on this show and on stage. What's funny is funny, right? Yeah. I mean, that's one thing Tawana has to understand about dating you. He's just starting. He's already censoring all this stuff. I mean, the funniest things that you talk about are real life, and he's not able to do that. It's hilarious that they're not allowed to watch a movie in his house because they're trying to live like it's the 1860s or whatever.
Right. And I tried to work that into a joke, and I could tell that he wasn't really feeling it. I said, all right, we'll move on. Donald Trump. You know what? I want to see how this ends. I want to see this. I'm loving that he's dominating in the polls. I want more of this. I find this to be incredibly entertaining.
Yeah. What did he just say? That the woman from Fox was on her period or whatever?
Basically. Then he denied that.
Okay. Here's the thing. This is the beauty. People want him to drop out of the race. No. Well, women, if you don't like what he said... The best thing in the world is for him to stay in the race.
Yes.
and you don't vote for him. That's the beauty. You don't vote for him. You have an unelectable candidate, and then your candidate wins. You understand if that's the case. So I don't understand why there's outrage. Don't you, love the fact that you get to know exactly what this guy's thinking? We don't get to know that with any other candidate. If this
that's part of the reason why he's doing well. It's people think it's refreshing.
It is refreshing. It is. And listen, forget about electability. Forget about what you think of his politics or whatever. You're a fool if you think that there's more integrity with these other candidates. There's less.
Yeah.
There's less integrity. There might be a better man standing up there. I'm sure that there is. But the fact of the matter is that these guys have to say, well, what's your favorite color? It's blue. What's your favorite ice cream? Vanilla. What's your favorite television show? It's The Big Bang Theory. Everybody's got to sit right in the middle. Uh-huh. You have to sit here in the middle. You can't have any extreme thoughts, because if you do, you're not electable. Now you have a guy who's saying, fuck this. Here's what I think. She was acting like a bitch. I'm going to say she's on her period. Oh, you're offended by it? Beautiful. We have the perfect response to that. Don't vote for that person. It's the greatest thing that you can do. And that's say, I don't choose you. Isn't it great? You don't know if Mitt Romney went home and said to his wife that woman was a bitch. You don't know.
Right.
Because he's calculating. Not him. Everybody. It's Donald Trump. Am I going to vote for him? No. But I love him. I love the idea that I get to know what somebody's really thinking. And if people have a problem with that, that's the problem with the electorate. It is. I've said it before. That's why the taller candidate wins every year. That's why good-looking people win the presidency.
Yeah.
Because we're shallow and we're stupid. That's why. Now you have a guy, he's telling you exactly what he thinks, and you don't like him. Well, you're a fool. You're a fool if you don't like the guy who is telling you exactly what he thinks. He
and
is.
That's why you should be doing the news over Wendy Townsend. That was really Joe Robinson. You know how like people will claim a conspiracy theory in like a basketball game or the NBA or baseball because the networks, they want it to be the Lakers versus the Celtics, or they want LeBron to make it. Well, you know the networks, they don't want Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush. Nobody wants to hang out with either one of those people. No one in the world, okay? They want Donald Trump in this thing for as long as possible.
Of course they do, yes.
That's why it needs to be Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders at the end of this whole thing.
No, I can't have a socialist. We're already socialists. I can't have that. I can't have the government running more shit. I can't even have that as an option. I can't.
I can't even go down this line.
I think that's a good, I would like that. That would be entertaining to me.
Yeah, all right.
But the people who are complaining about this, Joe, and you know this from your experience in radio, and Rob, you probably have come across this too, especially in radio, where people call up, they will complain about everything you do, but are unwilling to change the station.
Right, yeah.
Well, thank God, right? I mean, thank God that's
people. Some people like to be angered by stuff. I know people that go online and they look up, they go to websites that they hate what they're talking about to get angry. You know why I know what's happening on Fox News? Because every liberal person on Facebook tells me what's happening on Fox News.
Yes. Can you believe Fox News? Blah, 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 blah. Well, clearly, if you think it's a right slant, then go to somebody that's more in your in your line of thinking.
That's why Fox News has the best ratings, because everyone who likes Fox News watches it. Everyone who hates it watches it to bash it. So that's why they have twice the ratings as MSNBC. It is interesting on Facebook that I most of my friends are comics, and I have a lot more black Facebook friends than there are percentage of blacks in the country. And so it's very Democrat, liberal leaning. And I find myself becoming, seeming more conservative than I really am in the real world. Because I don't, like, according to Facebook and everyone else, I'm like super right wing, but I'm for gay marriage. Like, I want more. I want it to be harder to buy a gun. I'm against the death penalty.
Of course.
I'm pro-choice.
Look at the life I lead.
I want marijuana to be legal. It's right. But I'm not really that conservative.
If you spent literally 15 minutes with me at any point in the day, you'd know that I am not a far right-leaning person. I'm not.
Of course not.
However, you know, I got Chris Restivo's father telling me that I'm a left, that I'm a left-wing liberal because I don't like Chris using the word faggot.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, is that where we draw the line? But yes, I suffer from the same.
Well, now, apparently, like I made this point before on Facebook, like racism used to be, well, you owned slaves. And then it was you could coexist with black people, but you don't really like them. You would let your daughter date them. And then it could be, well, you know, I'll root for him if he's on my football team. And then it was like, well, I would never hire one to be a manager. And then it became, well, I'm a Republican, or I'm from the South, or I like NASCAR. And now it's like, I want to wait to see what happened to realize if who's guilty, the cop or the guy who killed. I just want to see the facts.
Right, right.
And now that's right. Like, oh my God, you're so racist. You want to know what happened. All right. I don't have an opinion yet because I don't know what happened. Like literally today, this is what happened. This could happen today. A man could be choking a baby, and you could see the baby's die. The life is sucking out of its face, and a cop could shoot this guy in the head, and the headline would read, "Cop kills unarmed man." That would literally happen, okay? It's just so ridiculous. Stop getting funny here at the end, but that's the show. See, when Robbie's not here, we just go off on a tangent, Marcus.
I love it. I think it's the best show ever, even though Mac is probably going to say without Robbie, it was the worst.
No, it's not Mac. It's Eric the actor. He's really the Robbie lover. Now, Mac also loves Robbie, but not like Eric the actor. Eric the actor doesn't even like Rob and I. He doesn't even like
us. He doesn't.
If this was the Robbie show, it would be his favorite show of all time.
Totally. Yeah.
Let me say this about Mac, though, because Mac yesterday was on Facebook and asked for prayers for Joe to recover from his illness. So this only goes to prove, since we're doing the show right now, that prayer works.
It does work.
I think he was just being a little bit of a dick, Marcus, but I like it.
Yeah, there was a lot of people worried about you, Joe, because I posted
about
it.
Real quick, because I got to go too, but God love Gramps. But when I'm sick, by the way, I laid on the bathroom floor for about 30 minutes. And when I'm in that situation, I don't want to receive a call from my father. I don't want it. Now, I know he's concerned, but you understand, when I'm nauseous, I don't want to have to be explaining that I'm okay. By the way, I'm not okay. Just right. Let me recover and come find me the next day. Now, if I die, well, then I'm dead. I mean, nothing I can do about it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it was my time.
I feel the same.
But this is, and Graham's called me today, which was perfect. Are you feeling better? I am. Thanks for calling. But when you first read on Facebook that I'm throwing up, just give me till the next day. I need one day just to get better, and then I'll be good to go.
Well, a couple of the comments. God might be punishing you for wearing wolf shirts. Someone said, that was Scott Mack on Facebook. Santiago Ochoa said he'll feel much better if he still wore his Merrells. Put on those shoes. Last thing, real quick, check out JL Covan's Donald Trump impression, reviewing Fantastic Four. It's hilarious. It's excellent. And this Thursday, listen to 98 Rock after the Ravens game. Hear the new and improved post-game show starring Joe Robinson, with a little help from myself and Tommy Simbazo. Thank you, Marcus. We'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.